Welcome to the Becoming You show with me, your host, Leah Rowling. Do you believe you are capable of choosing your future? Sometimes it takes just one person to believe in you, or you to believe in yourself. If you find yourself continuing to say, someday I will take better care of myself, only to continue living the same day over and over and over again, then you, my friend, are in the right place. I am your biggest cheerleader, inspiring you to become you on purpose and with intention. Are you ready to create a life you love? I'm excited to share with you some big ideas that you can use today to inspire, impact, and influence your life and everyone in it. The Becoming You show starts now. Happy Friday, friends. Welcome to the Becoming You show with me, your host, Leah Rowling. How are you? How is your Friday? I love me my Fridays. And as you know, I love being here with you. I'm super excited to share with you the topic of today's show, and that's purpose. I get it. It's a big topic, but it lays the groundwork for the purpose of this show, the purpose of my study and research on self-mastery. The seeking of something more is the pursuit. The something more is the freedom to be. Becoming you, right, is the journey to being free. Free to choose your thoughts, free to express your honest intentions, free to feel, free to stand up, stand out, and pursue the nudgings of your soul. Free to quiet the fear, free from permission, free from conforming, free from living in our past, free to live in our future, free to love and serve and contribute with who we want, when we want, as much as we want, without excuses and justifications, permissions, or apologies. It's a big topic because it's a big responsibility. We always have a choice. We can choose our becoming or choose oppression, right? Oppression and fear are the thieves of our becoming. And when we don't choose our becoming, we turn our back on our future and live in our fears, not in our purpose. If you're watching this, I'm guessing it's a responsibility that you don't take lightly either. I believe in our own becoming. Becoming more of who it is that we already are, and sharing our unique and genuine and unapologetic selves into the world to connect and to contribute in the most meaningful way. That's our responsibility, right? It's what I believe we are truly called to do, to become. My hope is that this show supports you on that journey to being free, becoming you. Most everything I will share with you will require you to champion consciousness and choose who it is that you want to be on purpose, in purpose. On purpose means to choose intentionally how you want to show up and questioning lovingly, is this the very best version of me in this situation? Right? That's on purpose. In purpose means aligning your beliefs and behaviors to that knowing, right? If you can't tell, I'm super passionate about this topic, right? I'm not sure that there is a book that I've not read on purpose. I spent a good majority of my adult life looking for it. I used to think if I could just find it, then my life would make sense. Then I would make sense. Maybe then I would be worthy. Maybe then I would be enough. Then I could stop people pleasing. I could stop pretending. I used to think that if I had purpose, right, I wouldn't be so worried about what other people thought of me, that they wouldn't judge me, right, that they would like me more, accept me more, that I would finally belong. I thought if I had purpose, right, I wouldn't feel so alone. I thought it would fill the void my dad created when he left me at 8, never to return. I thought if I found purpose, it would defy the odds of ever being abandoned again. This 30-year search for purpose became my becoming, my rediscovery of self, if you will. This is what I learned along the way. Thinking about what you think about and feeling your feelings, knowing who you are, and aligning that knowing directly correlate with fulfillment and meaning and living in purpose. Did you notice I said living in purpose? You see, purpose isn't something that you look for. It is something that you tap into within. It doesn't even need to be found. You are in purpose, right? You have always been in purpose. You just have to live it, become it. It starts and stops with self. I think sometimes we wish this wasn't true, that somehow it wasn't up to us to be it, rather acquire it. We think it would be better if we could continue to look for it, excusing our responsibility to live in it, that we could blame our situation for not having the means in some way, right, to step into it. I promise you, we don't wish this for ourselves. The cost is much too great. It is the ultimate cost in living a life that you don't recognize, that is unfulfilling, without meaning and purpose. A life that is not even ours. And you can't unknow this. It starts and stops with self. It starts when we are in alignment with who it is that we are. It starts when we honor our knowing with trust and curiosity and commitment. And it stops, friends, when you believe otherwise. If you have ever felt stuck, right, and unsure of what it is that you wanted in your life, if you have ever felt exhausted from trying to find your purpose, if you've ever questioned how you can find some more aliveness and fulfillment and meaning in your life, if you have a thought about purpose and have looked for purpose, this show is for you, right? And if you're here and listening to this show, following that nudge in your heart that wants you to seek more for your life, I thank you, right? I think when people inquire about purpose, it's usually in one of these three ways. One, it's either to solve for that lost feeling, right? That they feel that they desperately need to find a better way, right? That their life is wrong in some way. That it wasn't what they had hoped for in some way. The second way that people generally inquire purpose is that they're stuck. They're stuck in their own trauma. They're stuck in their past. They're stuck in their beliefs. They're incapable, right, of seeing the world differently. And the last way that I see people like look and seek, right, for this purpose, right, within is just genuine curiosity about how they can be better for the sake of being better, right? They love the growth and the learning aspects of becoming more of who it is that they are, right? I can personally say that I have looked for purpose to fulfill all three, right? To feel better, to get unstuck, and to grow. I believe that there's a certain aliveness, right, behind this desire to tap into our human potential, our personal purpose, to tap into our capabilities and our gifts and our talents. I believe that we all have this nudge, right, this inkling, this spark within us, right? And if we have it within us, right, we also have the skills necessary to meet that desire with success. I spoke in the last show, how to finish strong, right? How to be successful. It comes from becoming the belief. It comes from keeping conscious, and it comes from honoring the progress. And as I said on the last show, it's all progress, right? So if you need some success strategies, right, you can check out the replay on that one, right? But we have to bring our belief to the game, right? This game of life, this life of purpose. Belief ignites our personal power to get off the bench and step into the field, right? It doesn't matter, friends, where you're at on this journey. It doesn't. Whether you're feeling lost, if you're feeling desperate, right? If you're stuck in your head and your heart and your life, or if you're just excited, right? And empowered and inspired to grow and to learn and to rediscover your sense of self. I want to meet you right where it is that you are, right? So maybe if you're listening to this and you're feeling hopeless and discouraged and depressed, right? Maybe you're not ready for this like raw testimony, right? This pie in the sky dream talk. But I assure you, everything I teach, coach, and model on is rooted in science and our human psyche. It is psychology. It is human behavior. It is neuroscience. It's quantum science. It's metacognition. How exactly, scientifically, people design their life. This one, right? This one that you're living in now. I think sometimes people feel hopeless because we think it's not possible for us, that we're not given the same opportunities, the same inheritance, the same luck. But I get so excited because no matter where you are right now, this very moment in time, you can change. You can improve, you can inspire, you can influence and impact your life. No matter where you are in your life, I promise you this is true, right? No matter where you are in your health, you don't have to feel so exhausted and hopeless. No matter where you are in your career, there is growth and impact available to you. No matter where you are with your relationships, there's always more love to give and connection to embrace. There are so many researched frameworks and methodologies for taking back your life and living in purpose, right? I want to share them with you, at least everything that I know about them. And I'm constantly learning and constantly finding new ways to teach and shape the content that I teach so that you can apply these lessons, right, in your life in whatever way is meaningful to you. The answer to what my life's purpose ultimately comes back down to is you making life purposeful, you taking back your life and living in purpose, on purpose, living into the full expression of who it is that you are, awakening yourself to the purpose that you are and that you have always been. It begins with you designing it more intentionally. It begins with you standing in your personal power, knowing, right, that empowerment requires responsibility. The responsibility to choose clarity and congruence, right? Clarity is knowing what you want and who you want to be, right? And congruence is doing all things honoring that knowing, right? In studying the greats, right, in quantum science and personal development, people like Joe Dispenza and Bruce Lipton and Amit Goswami and Gary Zukav and Daniel Amen and Stephen Covey, it is clear that we as humans, no matter who it is, right, that we are, desire these three things, right? And when we can align our beliefs and our behaviors around them, we become more of who it is that we are. Who's ready to become more? When we get back from break, I'm going to share with you these three things that we desire and give you some big ideas on how to use them to inspire and impact and influence the people in your life. and your life. We'll see you soon.
Are you wanting more for your life? Are you ready to create your life with confidence and contribution? We all have a gift to give to the world. Becoming you is that gift. In order to truly live your life, you have to become you on purpose and with intention. Leah Rowling supports you in becoming you using the B method, consistently producing results for hundreds of entrepreneurs and business owners. For more information, visit leahrowling.com.
Are you wondering who you are meant to be in this ever-changing world right now? Kelly Kay is a certified new paradigm multidimensional transformation energy healer, ready to assist you in this transformative process of expanding your consciousness. She helps you transmute your wounds and traumas into healing, growth, and wisdom, resulting in self-empowerment and freedom from fear. Visit enlightenedmedicine.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Becoming You show. If you want to find out more or take what I am teaching here to the next level, you should join us in Becoming. It's an online coaching program for people just like you seeking more for their lives. You can find more about that program and all the work that I do on my website at www.leahrowling.com. Okay, my friends, before the break, I was talking to you about our desires, right? And I want to share with you how to draw these desires into your life more intentionally, okay? The first desire that I believe is one of the big ones that we are all looking for is that of abundance, right? What makes you feel abundant? In all things, mental abundance, emotional abundance, physical abundance, connected abundance, doing, feeling, experiencing more of what makes you feel more abundant supports your becoming, right? And when you align yourself with this knowing, right, you become more abundant, okay? The second desire, and I will break these all down in detail, but the second desire is connection, right? According to all of the research on the topic, not only in living longer, my friends, but living longer, happier, and more fulfilled, connection is the number one indicator. If you want to become more of who it is that you are for longer, meaningful connection with yourself and others is the way. And the last desire, like true desire of our heart, is fulfillment. I believe a fulfilling life is knowing who you are and living into it, right? It is being honest about who it is that you are, who it is that you're not. It is about being honest about what it is that you want and what it is that you don't. It is aligning your word, right, with your actions. It's doing what is right versus what is easy. It is choosing to be uncomfortable in the uncertainty to step into your truth, right? When you know who you are, you know what to do. And I say this all the time. But when people ask me, Leah, what should I do with my life? I always say, well, know who you are. When they say, what should I do for my career? I said, know who you are. And when people say, I don't know what my purpose is, I say, know who you are, right? Know who you are. This self-knowing, I like to call this study of self, selfology, right? And I'll spare you the Google search because it's not a real word, right? And I know we kind of just started getting to know each other, but once you get to know me a little bit better, you know, I make up words all the time, right? My family calls it speaking Leah-ish, right? Anyway, selfology is a scientific study of self, right? It is the study of who it is that you are, who it is that you want to become, and what it is that you desire in all of the areas of yourself, right? And the alignment with that knowing is your becoming. It's what allows you to live in purpose, right? And I believe if we are going to live in purpose and become the best version of ourselves, we need to be and create more abundant, connected, and fulfilling experiences, right? So the question is, how do I be and create more abundance, right? Connection and fulfilling experiences. The answer, consciously, right? And I get that seems pretty common sense, my friends, but common sense is not common practice. If it was, success would be common. If it was, abundance, connection, and fulfillment would be common. Okay. So I'm going to break these three desires down, starting with abundance. Okay. We desire abundance in every area of our life, right? Mental self, our mental self, right? We desire clarity over confusion. Clarity is in abundance. Confusion is in scarcity. Okay. Emotional self, right? Our emotional self. We desire empowerment versus entitlement. In our physical self, we desire vitality versus stagnation. In our personal self, right? We desire aliveness over apathy. And in our connected self, we desire acceptance over rejection. Okay. So how do I be more abundant? Like with everything I teach you guys, we have to examine our thoughts and our emotions. All be states. How do I be more abundant? You got to understand how to be. All be states require conscious clarity of our T and our E, our thoughts and our emotions, right? You become more abundant when you think more abundant thoughts, right? Abundance in the T line always creates abundance in the E line. And the same is also true for scarcity. Scarcity in the T line, right, shows up scarcity in the E line and scarcity in the R line every single time, you guys. I believe scarcity thinking and feeling is due to a lack of belief in these three areas, okay? Belief in something bigger than ourselves, belief in our capabilities, and belief in our commitments. Let me break them down just real quick for you. Belief in something bigger than yourself. Belief in God. Belief in universe. Belief in a role model of sorts. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your dad or a grandparent or your children, right? If we don't believe or have a belief in something bigger than ourselves, something divine, something worth fighting for, right? A belief that maybe we can even borrow, I tend to see scarcity play out, right? I spent a very good majority of my life in corporate America. I thought, I don't love my job, right? But I love that it allows me to do what I love, right? This was my story. This is what I would tell anyone that asked me what I did and if I liked my job, right? This was my story rooted in scarcity as I did not believe in myself. And I held on to this excuse until I lost my mom, right? She believed in me every day. She saw my heart before I did. She saw my purpose in me before I did, right? I had no business believing that I could quit my job and start a coaching company. I had never done it before, right? Thank goodness, like my mom left me with that belief, right? A gift that I do not take lightly, a gift that I intend to wrap every single day, a gift that I will honor with discipline and dedication and commitment and consciousness, right? A gift that I fully intend to give back to the world, offering you the beliefs that she gave to me. These beliefs that we borrow from people, these beliefs in something bigger than ourselves, give us meaning and allow us to stand in our purpose, right? The second belief that I believe allows us to stay in scarcity, right? Or to rise up and step into the abundance that is always available for us to choose is that of our belief in our own capabilities. Friends, you have to believe in your own capabilities, right? We have to stop using the past as an indicator of what is possible in the future. It doesn't matter if you have done it before. I want you to remind, right, your brain that you don't need to know how. If you think it, it becomes a possibility for your consciousness to choose from, right? So many times I see people, they compare themselves to other people. They compare themselves to their own capabilities versus someone else's, right? And I get it. It is an absolute normal human thing to do, right? We think in comparisons. We do that, right? So we know where we are in relationship to others, right? It's a very human thing to do, right? We have very binary brains. Our brains like to bucket things, right and wrong, Democrats, Republicans, believers, non-believers, right? But don't use other people against yourself. So often people compare in envy, right? As if someone else's success steals from ours. We think if they have 80% of this success, then there's only 20% for us. This is not even true, my friends, right? Our success, right, is 100% ours, right? It is not dependent on anyone else. I like to think about people that I admire, people that are doing similar work in the world. I think, they're human. I'm a human and she's a woman and I'm a woman and she has kids and I have kids. If she is capable, then I could be capable, right? If it's possible for her, could it be possible for me? Of course it could, right? Do you see this? Only look at what other people are doing if you can look at them with inspiration on what's possible, right? Otherwise, what other people are doing is completely irrelevant. If it gives you permission to believe it's possible, then I'm all for it, all in, right? Just don't delegate your success to anyone outside of you, right? Remember, you need to be the one to bring the success to the belief, okay? The third way I see scarcity show up is our lack of belief in our commitment. Thoughts like, I know I'll give up, or I just don't trust myself, or I know I won't do it, right? Or I won't stick with it, or I never have, right? This all is a form of scarcity, but this belief that we're not able to commit creates more scarcity, right? I promise you, you have way more evidence of following through and learning how to do this life than you have evidence to the contrary. Your brain, however, is on the lookout for danger, right? Is on the lookout for ways that things can go wrong, right? Not the physical danger, right? That it once acclimated to, but the emotional danger. Right? Think about it. Everything that we do or don't do is to either feel a certain way or to not, right? Your brain doesn't want you to be disappointed. Your brain doesn't want you to grow, to learn new things, to be uncomfortable, to not know. It loves certainty. Your brain likes same. So when your brain offers you the scarcity story, you just answer back with an abundant one of all that you have done. Right? We got to remind yourself, you've learned to crawl and walk and spell and memorize and write and tie your shoe and ride a bike all before you were 6 years old, all done from a place of never having done it before. Friends, let's not let our brain be the boss of us. Rather, us answer lovingly, if I can tie my shoe, I can follow through. Okay, you become more abundant when you believe, right? When you have someone to believe in, right? Or believe for, when you have belief in your capabilities, right? In possibilities and not in envious comparisons. And when you believe in your ability to commit, it's your choice. It's always your choice. The second thing, the second human desire that I want to unpack for you is that of connection, right? Deep, meaningful connection. A bit of a lost art, I feel. The art of truly connecting with actual people, like real people, right? To hold space for them patiently, curiously, and compassionately, to love abundantly without restriction and reservation and regret, right? What has happened to our human family? Why are we so disconnected? Why are we so divided? I think for two reasons: criticism and complacency. Let's start with criticism. We are so quick to judge, to point out wrongs, to assign blame. We have been conditioned, friends, to criticize. Social media has only exacerbated this condition. There are so many judgments with every post. Do we stop our scroll? Do we like? Do we not like? Do we share? Do we comment? Do we critique? Do we ridicule? It's all judgment. True connection is lost in this judgment. Criticism steals our connection, right? We know it, we feel it, and yet we still find ourselves in cruel conversations, in gross gossip, and mean messages. When does it stop? Friends, it stops when you stop. I know how easy it can be to be part, right, of these conversations, right? And excuse our responsibility because we're really not partaking in the narrative, right? Because we, quote unquote, know better, right? If we know better, we need to do better. We need to hold ourselves and others to a higher standard. We need to change the conversation, right? Inject inspiration and love because humanity needs it, okay? The other way I find that we disconnect from ourselves and from others is complacency, right? How often do you find yourself just going through the motions of your day? Quick goodbyes, unconscious conversations, passive participation. We can do better. I know we can. It requires just a little intentional effort. It requires holding the goodbye a few seconds longer. It requires being present in the conversation to look into the eyes of the messenger and to hear their heart, not their voice. It requires us to be in the moment, whether we're driving our kiddos to school, talking with our team about upcoming projects, or date nights with our spouses, right? Unconscious complacency is not living, right? It is doing what is familiar. It's not moving us forward. It is living in the past, forsaking possibilities of this future, right? Being requires a certain consciousness, a certain intentionality. I want you to ask yourself, are you just driving and dropping off if you've got kiddos, right? Are you just driving and picking up and repeating? Can we think of other questions to offer other than the usual morning mantra? What do you got going on at school today, bud? Or do you have everything you need, right? And then at pickup, right? The afternoon offering, how was your day? Or what did you have for lunch, right? I know these, you guys, because I found myself repeating these day in and day out, day after day, right? Same answer, same results. No true connections, no true meaning, just going through the motions. Sometimes begrudgingly, I asked myself, is this something I want to delegate off, right? The answer was no. I asked, am I committed to taking these boys to school, right? To and from school, right? I answered, yes. Do I want a better and more connected experience with them? The answer, of course, was yes. So then I kindly but firmly committed to making my minutes more meaningful. Different questions, friends, don't require more words or work, right? They just require just a titch more intentionality. How about instead of asking, what you got at school today, right? I ask, How do you want to show up today? What does the best version of yourself look like today? Who would you need to be today? Or what would you need to do today to say that this was an awesome day, that you crushed it? Right? Instead of day in and day out asking and getting the same response to, how was your day? Good, yours? I asked, what was amazing about today? Who could you have shown up better for? Who got your A game today? And how might you finish today strong? Right? The same is true with talking with your teens, right? Do you want different results with your teens, with the people that you lead, that you influence, right? If you do, then I promise you, you have to do something different. So often we look for them to change, right? Them changing isn't the required necessity. You have to do something. You have to start asking yourself questions. How am I engaging with them, right? Where have you fallen off of your mission? Do you have a mission? Does everyone on your team know your goals? Do you have goals, right? What are you leading? Where are you marching forward for? Where are you going? Why, right? When you think about your date nights with your spouses, right? Have they just become something that you check off? Because all relationship coaches say, you got to make time for date nights, right? Do you drive to dinner and order and eat and then come home, right? How could you love more? How could you add more of an element of surprise and encouragement and laughter, right? Where has the joy gone? Where is the love? The joy is there, I promise you. We just have to embrace it and bring it to the table, right? Love, oh, love, my friends. It is all around us. It's nothing that hurts. It's nothing that you've been hurt by. It is not finite. It is nothing that you can't trust, right? The story that you tell yourself about love is the one that deserves your mistrust. How are your relationships in your life? Where are you critiquing and judgment and blame, right? Where are you complacent and with who? Your spouse, your kids, your siblings, your friends, your neighbors, yourself? Who are you holding resentment for? Who are you waiting for an apology? Who are you looking for validation or permission from? These are all really great questions, right? To become more aware of your relationships and how you are showing up for them and yourself. If you want more meaningful connections in your life, then we've got to cut out the criticism and be more conscientious of the complacency. Okay? We just do, my friends. So we know now that we need to live more abundantly and we need to create meaningful connections, right? By cutting out the complacency and cutting out the criticism. The last and final thing that I want to teach you today is we have to step into fulfillment, right? I believe it is the deepest desire of our heart, right? Are you living a fulfilling life? Are you? Or are you living a life of excuses as to why you can't? Right? Why you can't leave your job, why you can't ask for the promotion, the raise, why you can't lose the weight, find love, move to the ocean, save money, contribute more, travel more, all of it. Here's what else I know is true. I believe that we can live abundantly with the most meaningful and awesome connections, right? And yet still not be fulfilled. Why? So many of us are called for more. Actually, scratch that. Every single one of us, I believe, is called for more. I think we're all called to learn and to grow, right? But many of us have fallen deaf to this calling. Like, think about a child that is trying to get their mom's attention, right? Calling out, "Mom, look at this. Like, look at this. Look at this." And after the third and fourth time of being kind of shushed away, this child stops calling. Similarly, we have stopped calling, right? We have stopped wishing. We have stopped dreaming. We have shushed away our desires, right? Your becoming, your growth, your potential, your purpose resides in this answering, right? But first, friends, we have to listen. We have to stop ignoring ourselves. We have to stop making excuses. We have to realize that we alone are our own worst enemies. The doubt in who we are, the disconnection of those we love, the discounting of our soul's longing, right, are all remedied by abundant belief, amazing connections, and this awakening of our inner spirit, right? If not now, when? When? Is it not your time to grow? Is it not your time to answer your fears with the conscious truth and live into your knowing, right? Growing requires change. Growing requires challenges. Growing requires consciousness, right? If the challenges and problems and struggles you have, right, are the ones and the only ones that the world is throwing at you, then we're not growing, my friends. We're not truly living. We're just kind of surviving. It is our responsibility to put these challenges into our path on purpose, right? Our purpose requires it. We do not grow in ease. We do not grow in comfort. We don't grow in apathy and indifference. Let the path be hard. Let the path be even uncomfortable, right? Let the path be inspired. So I want you to ask yourself, when was the last time you put an obstacle in your path, right? Not one that your life just threw at you, but where did you intentionally design an obstacle for you to hurdle, right? So many of us are not doing that. So many of us know what we're good at and what we desire, right? And whatever it is that you do, you know you can do it. You know that you're pretty decent at it. Whatever it is that you're passionate about, right? That desire, that calling becomes the challenge, right? What are you truly capable of in that calling? I promise you, it's way more than you could possibly imagine, right? Wouldn't it just be fun to find out? If you desire it, dream about it, wish about it, you can be it. You can. I believe the desire of your heart is tied directly to the destiny of your life, right? So the question then is, why do we not believe abundantly? Why do we not connect amazingly, right? Why do we not dare to awaken the desires of our heart? And the answer is fear, right? And the remedy to fear is truth, okay? And truth is found when we sit in the now, consciously considering who it is that we are, all of who it is that we are, and who it is that we want to be, right? Not who it is that we've been, right? Consciously considering our connections with humanity, knowing that they also operate from this fear and choose love anyway and always. There's never a better choice, never. Consciously considering the faint whispers, right, of this ignored child who desperately wants to live in this life and not the one that you're excusing with your past stories, right? And I'm not saying those stories aren't valid, right? I'm just saying that your past stories have no possibility. There's no possibility in the past, right? Rather, only in your future. So let's live for that. You are the storyteller here, my friends. You get to choose what your story is. Every day, you can start with tremendous intention, right? Of being your very best in you as you, which means that we have to stop doing what we have always done, right? We have to change up the minutes of our mornings. We have to be intentional about it, right? If you find yourself just rolling out of bed, right, in the kitchen, coffee in hand, wondering how you're going to make it through another day or worse, not even aware, God, there's another day to be lived, another day to breathe and to love and to connect. We can do better. I know we can, right? I believe truly that people that make personal development a way of life are better equipped to this challenge, right? That's why I'm so thankful that you're here, right, in this movement with me, and I admire the practice of your work. Society truly needs you to inspire it with your joy and influence it with your responsibility and impact it with love, right? Friends, I've been fired. I've quit. I have failed in relationships. I've been divorced. I've known heartache. I've closed off my heart. I have run away from my life. And personal development has brought me back to it every single time. Self-awareness has saved my soul, right? This journey to self-mastery requires intentionally making your life purposeful, creating an abundant, right, in all things kind of life, creating compassionate and caring connections, and creating space for the truth of your heart calling. What else this self-awareness means is what is not desired, right? Which requires tough conversations on what is no longer tolerable to you, what you are no longer going to allow, right? So for me on this journey, there were a few hard no's put in my path, right? A few non-negotiables, right? And the first one for me was no more fining. Okay. Are you a finer, right? Do you pretend to be fine when you're not? Now, I'm not suggesting, right, that you offer your hurts up to the grocery store cashier, right? Checking a box by simply asking like how your day is, right? Even if they seemingly care, right? They don't have the time and the space to hold for your honesty. I'm talking about all the pent-up, not fine that you're carrying on your shoulders, crushing any true and any honest connection with those that are closest to you, right? I know we mean well, right? Or at least I thought I did. I mean, really, who really wanted to hear about all my hurdles, right? I always thought other people's hurdles were much taller than mine. If I was fine, then the other people in my life could save their worry for someone else, right? If I wasn't fine, then what would that say about me? What would that say about my life? Wait, what? Like that it wasn't perfect? That I wasn't perfect? Neither was my life? Would I have to admit that I struggle with self-worth? That I struggle with self-doubt and insecurities? Would I have to admit that I'm a hot mess? Sometimes that I'd have to admit that I need help and support every now and again? The answer to all that is yes. And the admittance makes me human. It is only in this honest human expression, right, that we not only have genuine connection, but mutual compassion. I believe people crave the need to be needed. And when we find away our hurts, we steal away their opportunity to feel as much. Right? Worse, when we find away our hurts, we damage our relationship with others. We, in a sense, suggest that we don't matter, that other people matter more, that their hurts are more important, more significant, Finding away your hurts, my friends, doesn't make them go away, rather fester. Okay. So no more finding, friends, no more ignoring the very emotions that, if given space to be felt, allow us to learn from the struggles, heal from the hurdles, and become stronger, more resilient, more compassionate beings. I want to offer you one more non-negotiable, right? And it's kind of a funny one. It's no more bacon cupcakes, right? And here's what I mean by that, right? When asked, Leah, would you make some cupcakes for our school fundraiser? My answer was, yes, of course, I would love to. Lies. I would not love to. I do not like baking cupcakes, my friends. My cupcakes are awful. And when I pretend and people please, I'm lying to everyone. I am lying to the person that asked in hopes that she would think that I'm somehow charitable and kind in my baking of the cupcakes, right? They actually don't even like me. They like a pretend version of me that's kind and charitable. Not me at all. Worse, I am lying to myself in hopes for their favor. Why? Am I not kind and charitable? Not in that lie, I'm not, you guys. Lying is not kind. Doing something from a serving heart is charitable for sure, but not a resentful one. You know what's kind? The whole truth. The whole truth. No more half truths, right? The truth requires more words. A half truth for me in this case would be, sorry, not helping with the fundraiser, don't like baking cupcakes, right? That's not what's true, right? The whole truth is, you know what? I really appreciate you putting on this fundraiser. And I'm more than happy to help in any way I can if that's true for you. But I don't like baking cupcakes, and nor do you really want my cupcakes, right? Trust me. But I have a friend who's an amazing baker, right? And I'll pay her to bake them, right? That's the whole truth. You know what else is kind of true? Is that I used to feel like, as a mom, I should bake, right? I should love to bake. Like, all the good moms bake, right? These amazing treats for their kids, right? Because all good moms bake. What? No. No, my friends. We have to stop being mean. And this goes up to my connection and why we don't truly connect with ourselves and others. And that's this criticism. This is our own worst enemy is ourselves. It's our own inner critique. We have to stop being mean to ourselves and to others. We just do. It has to be a line in the sand that we're just not going to not only partake, but participate in any way, shape, or form, right? We can do better. We can hold ourselves to a higher and better standards. We can, okay? So to step into your purpose, right? You have to become more tolerable to these emotions that we might not want to feel, right? We must do this for our sake and for the impact that I know we all want to make on our world, right? In our communities, in our churches, right? In our families, in our living rooms, and at our dining room table, right? Be intentional about your desires. Design them into your days. Live abundantly with the beliefs, right? Connect meaningfully by stopping with your criticism and complacency, and fulfill the purpose within. Align with who it is that you are and be convicted in your non-negotiables, what you're no longer willing to tolerate. Thanks for joining with me today, everyone. I love being here with you, and I look forward to every Friday at 11 a.m. Central. I would love to hear from you. If you don't want to offer your heart and your hopes and your hurdles with me, then I would love to know how I can best support you in your becoming. What do you need? What areas of your life are you trying to find the most alignment in, right? Alignment in doing what you know. Again, most of what I offer on this show is common sense, but common sense isn't common practice. So maybe the better question is, what do you know you should be doing? And yet, for whatever reason, you haven't decided to do it. I would love to know. It helps inform my upcoming show. And I promise you, you are not alone in this search for reason, right? We're going to dig into this exact topic on the next show, the search for reason, right? I'll see you then. Mwah.
You have been listening to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling, where I share big ideas to inspire, impact, and influence your life. Tune in every Friday at 11 Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com for your morning cup of coffee, the hug you never want to end, and that inspirational message that you felt was written just for you. Each show is inspiring you to become you with purpose and intention. For more information or to connect with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.